Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Ka'Chava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Savor the season knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves. With Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS for 15% off.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
Now, for many people, Christmas dinner, it's probably the most stressful meal they cook all year, and few understand that pressure better than Mark Moriarty, the chef and broadcaster, back on RTE this Monday with a Christmas special focused on keeping festive cooking simple, calm and achievable. Mark, three words I really love.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
It does. So go on, tell us, are you going to take the stress out for all of us?
I think I love doing the radio slots around Christmas time because it's the only time of year people at home basically have to turn to a professional chef and cook for a crowd once a year, and that brings a lot of stress. And what Christmas dinner really is all about is just planning and bringing things together. It's not about like the temperature of the turkey or the seasoning in the gravy, like that's the easy part. It's trying to bring a lot of food together at one time to feed sometimes up to like 20, 25 people, some people will have, which is, I tell you what, in a professional kitchen, if you're doing a table of anything over 6, it can get a little bit hairy and a little bit stressful, even at the professional level.
Let alone when you're doing it with one cooker and people buzzing around and the mother-in-law asking, do you need help with that? I think they're burning.
And lots of dynamic in the room as families come together over Christmas.
Absolutely. I asked this question out on the floor this morning to the production team, and I asked 4 people and I got 4 different answers. What is the most important item of the Christmas dinner to get right?
Roast potatoes.
That's what I said.
Yes, absolutely.
This is why we have you on. I knew I liked you. We had 4 different answers. One of the producers said the turkey, another said the ham, another said stuffing and gravy was their personal preference. But I think like getting those perfectly fluffy in the middle, crispy on the outside spuds. How do you do it?
Like, to give an example, I'm actually doing Christmas dinner or Christmas lunch this afternoon because my family are in Kerry.
Okay.
And we're not going down on Christmas Day, so they're up to me today. So okay. They're traditional. I've bought the turkey, bought the ham in tinfoil trays so that I can roast, slice, serve it in the trays, and then they can go in the bin. But the only thing I'm doing from scratch is the roast potatoes.
Okay.
So what I do is you can get Maris Piper or Rooster potatoes. Rooster potatoes, surprisingly, actually produce a better potato. We tested a few years ago on one of the TV shows where we did 5 different varieties. You put it in cold water. So peel the potatoes, put them in cold water. If you want to be really exact, the amount of water you put in the pot, you put 2% of that weight in salt. So you'll get the perfect seasoning.
Okay.
So let me do my maths. If you've got a liter of water, you're going to have 20 grams of salt.
Right.
And you can scale that up. Then what you do is you bring them slowly to the boil and then you simmer them. So you turn it down. Never boil your potatoes because what happens is they stay raw on the inside and they get overcooked on the outside. You cook them for about 10 minutes until they're nice and fluffy. And then what you do is you strain them off and you steam them for 5 or 6 minutes just to get them really, really dry.
So that's, you put a little tea towel or something over where
you can put a tea towel over.
Is that how you do it?
Yeah, in the strainer. If you want to be really exact, you can actually put them on a wire rack over a tray so that they get really steamed, but that just creates more washer, but I don't have time for that. Then what you do is you get your oven to about 210 degrees Celsius, biggest fan you have. I just put vegetable oil in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheaper and okay, you can go goose fat, you can go beef dripping, you will get flavour, but it can be a bit more expensive.
Yeah, does it make much, because that was one of the things I wanted to ask you, particularly if you're doing a vegetarian dinner, that the oil does it just as well.
Yeah, vegetable will do, it'll do exactly the same thing. Look, what you really want to focus on is the seasoning of the spuds and getting them crispy.
Right.
So get your oil in there, heat it up. Just be careful at this point because you are dealing with hot oil on the tray. Then what I do is you can just fluff them up. At that point, once you take the steaming towel off, give them a bit of a shake. What I like to do is add a little bit of polenta. So
right.
it's a ground cornmeal. It just makes them really, really crispy. You can get a couple of roast potato seasoning in a couple of supermarkets. You can use that as well. And then I get them onto the tray and they will sizzle and then you get them into the oven. Forget about them. They're going to take, good roast potatoes can take about an hour to an hour and 10 minutes at 210 degrees. But you just got it every 5 or 6 minutes or 10, 12, if you don't have that much time, is just turn them so they get really golden brown on the outside. And yeah, I like to carry them, want them really golden and dark and almost rich brown colour. and then crack into them loads of butter, bit of sour cream, bit of extra salt.
And how much oil are we talking here? Are you bathing them? Are you swimming them in oil?
For if you were doing, I usually do about 3 potatoes per person, and I'll have 5 today, so you've got 15 potatoes. You're talking about 300 mils of vegetable oil. Or
right,
fat.
Okay. So give it a good whack and give it your seasoning.
Yeah.
Already got lots of texts in. 087-1400-106 is the WhatsApp. Along the line of, I suppose, what I was saying there, any vegetarian dishes you could suggest? I find if you're a vegetarian, nut roast is the one that's always suggested, but anything a bit creative that you have that would be good for the main if you're not doing turkey and ham?
Yeah, I love Brussels sprouts. It's not everyone's cup of tea. What I've actually found, now it might get a slap on the wrist for this from some quarters, is I actually think there's frozen Brussels sprouts. They're actually sweeter than the ones you get in the net.
Okay.
Because I assume they're blast frozen when they've literally been picked. So the minute you pick a sprout, it actually comes on like this big stem. They start to lose their sugar content. So I'd say these are blast frozen. So I'm actually going to use frozen Brussels sprouts this Christmas.
Right.
And then if I'm blanching them, as in boiling them in water, I add a little bit of sugar and salt to the water. Just makes them really, really nice. And then what I do is I just make a little, it's like a dressing. So into a pot, I'll do a kind of a pickle. So I'll put equal quantities of caster sugar, maple syrup, cider vinegar and water. Bring it to the boil, reduce down till it's like a glaze.
Mm.
I'll put some diced chestnuts, which you can buy in a pack, through it. And then I'll just fold that through the Brussels sprouts and I'll serve them up. And they will be absolutely delicious and perfectly seasoned.
Sounding good. I'm pretty sure I have a bag of Brussels sprouts from last Christmas in the freezer. Yeah. Music to my ears.
I eat them throughout the year. They're just straight out of the freezer.
It's funny. Really they're lovely. There's something you don't think about doing outside of Christmas. But actually, if they're done right, or even like fried and with a bit of some sort of seasoning on them. You're the chef. More text in here. Wondered about alternatives to turkey. So first question, not doing turkey this Christmas, what's the best or easiest way to cook 5 tomahawk steaks? Very specific question there.
Love that. I'm not doing turkey either. I'm doing chicken. So tomahawk steaks, well, I'll try push this or segue it into the TV show Monday night. The main course, it's all alternatives on Monday night. So I'm doing a strip loin of beef.
Right.
And the technique I'm using would apply perfectly to the tomahawk steaks. So what you do is you basically, into a blender, you put some olive oil, garlic, thyme, you blend it up, you marinate the steaks or the strip loin of beef on Monday night in that, overnight if possible. Then what you do is, it's a reverse sear method. So all you need a temperature probe. And I say this all the time, just buy a temperature probe and have it in the kitchen all year round. It'll save you so much hassle.
Mm.
I stick the temperature probe into the thickest part of the steak or the strip loin. And what we want to do for a medium finish is bring it to 48 degrees. So I stick it into the oven at 120 degrees on a wire rack so the air can get all around it. It'll take about an hour and 15 minutes to get to 48 degrees in the middle. And it will look weird because it'll go grey on the outside. There's no colour. That's the reverse part. So then what you do is you take it out, you stick it on a really hot pan and you just char it on the outside as quickly as possible. You can do it on the barbecue as well if you want to make a mess inside.
Hmm.
And let it rest for 5 minutes, and that will give you, in your tomahawk steak or your strip loin of beef, charred outside, and it'll be perfectly pink from edge to edge, which is how they kind of do it in the restaurant, low temperature. Okay,
right, there you go. So picking up on a similar question, that could be your answer, but someone else fancying a change from turkey this year, any other meat or fish that you would recommend or suggest?
Yeah, I like to do, if I'm using fish, I'll use monkfish. It's quite similar to, you can treat it like a piece of meat. It's quite sturdy. It doesn't fall apart. It never sticks to the pan. The one trick I'd give there is to get a big piece of monkfish and just add some salt to it the night before.
Mm.
What that'll do is it'll extract any of the excess water and moisture, firm up the flesh of the fish. And then I brush in a little bit of honey before I caramelize in a pan. And that means it will always be golden brown and blackened on the outside. And by the time you've added loads of salt and lemon juice, it won't taste sweet. And this year, I'm just doing a really nice free-range chicken this year. And I do a lot of private dining throughout the year. And what we do is we preserve truffles in Fino sherry, and sounds quite fancy.
Yeah.
But I have two left over, which I'm going to slice and put under the skin of the chicken. I'm going to caramelize it, cook it really slowly, and then make a gravy with all the sort of truffle-infused Fino sherry. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that, but a really good chicken, particularly if you're cooking for maybe 4 to 6 people, a lot less waste than a turkey. And for me, it's just way tastier than a turkey.
You're making me hungry now. All we've had in this studio is chocolates. And by the way, actually, because
lots of good ones the way in.
Lots of good ones. What's your king chocolate? King Christmas chocolate.
I like the I'm the weird person that likes the bounty in the celebration.
I am out, totally out. We had two guests in the studio earlier. They both named bounty as their number one.
Yeah, I love it.
I feel totally outnumbered here.
Yeah, you close your eyes and you could be on a tropical island eating your...
I eat the chocolate as well on the outside and then I go into the coconut.
Okay, now, sorry, Mark. Now we're getting weird. Now, are you the kind of person who does that with a Kit Kat as well?
Yeah, I am weird, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Right. Okay.
I would describe myself that proudly.
A few textures in saying bounty is practically a health food over Christmas, which, in fairness, it probably is. The amount of recipes, and you've just reeled off five or six of them there. You've got, I think you've got a new book coming. You've got the studio coming. How many recipes do you go through a year in terms of new stuff you have to pull out and create?
So we worked it out. It's between 300 and 320 new recipes per year.
So you've basically got a new recipe every day.
Yeah, close to it. So between cookbook, TV show, Irish Times column every weekend, and then the few bits and bobs I would do for different brands throughout the year, it's about 320. Now, are they all completely brand new? No. Often if there's a recipe I've never seen before, there's a reason you haven't seen it. It's not good. So it's different plays on a lot of classic cooking. And with the studio coming now later in the spring, we're going to have a lot more in terms of the fine dining recipes and coming up with menus every week. But you have to walk around with your eyes wide open. And I would say that in a professional sense to chefs, if they want to learn, you have to spend a lot of your disposable income eating in restaurants,
okay,
seeing food. And like, I do that a lot. And then likewise, when I'm traveling and I do a lot of work abroad, I have to take time every night. And people go, oh God, it sounds like such a hard job. Going to places and eating, but places that are relevant to the work I do. So for a cookbook, I will go to, if I'm working in New York, a taco shack or a Korean restaurant or a pizza place. And I just photograph everything on my phone. So I have, I think, up to 18,000 photos, mostly of either my child or food on the
I
phone.
I won't ask you for the ratio child to food, just to save your blushes.
Absolutely. But because I have to constantly look back and say, oh, well, I had that there and I had that there and I could turn that into an Irish Times recipe and simplify it for people. Or that's a cookbook recipe. Or that's a recipe or a dish I had in a restaurant that I can upgrade to charge people money for a fine dining, private dining event in the studio. So you constantly walk. Now, I love it, but you constantly do have to walk around every single day, every moment. There's inspiration everywhere. And you have to document it because you just forget. I start forgetting these things.
Yeah. And are you doing then, do you spend a day or two a week or whatever it is just cooking them? I presume you have to make them, find out, oh, that did work, that didn't work, and go through a serious amount of your own cooking.
Everything has to be tested. Now, for the TV show, it's great because I can retrospectively change recipes. So like you kind of have a natural ability as a chef that it'll be 200 mils of this and blah, blah, blah. And then we will film, say, the TV show, or we will do the cookbook where we will create the dish and photograph it. And then I'll go back retrospectively to save myself time and change. Oh, it needed a little less of this, a little more of that. And then for things like the Irish Times and the cookbook recipes, I do have a fantastic sidekick called John Donnelly, who he will test everything for me. He will buy all the ingredients. He helps styling the food. And then he will work with me on collating the recipes once they're tested to make sure that when Sean Defoe picks up his book or a listener picks up their book, they know that it's a Mark Moriarty recipe. I can trust that this is going to work for me. It's going to be as simple as possible and hopefully it's going to be delicious.
Yeah. When it comes to Christmas this year, how are you spending it?
Very simply, as I drink coffee because I was up all night with a sick child.
Oh.
Very simply, it's going to be myself, my wife, our daughter and our dog. We are going to have that nice chicken once the little lady goes down to bed. And we're just going to do simple stuff like stay in the house. I have my parents coming up from Kerry today. And then what we'll do is we'll probably go down to them after Christmas, spend a few days down there. It's my birthday falls around this time as well. So.
Oh, happy birthday. And that's always difficult for getting presents.
It was,
you just get one lot, you don't get
I've it. always got yeah. one lot, but I make sure they're good. And then and we have my brother-in-law, Grania's brother Michael's coming home from Australia for a couple of weeks. So looking forward to that as well.
Oh, that sounds like a lovely, lovely way to spend Christmas. Loads of texts coming in for you. Is prawn cocktail still a thing? Thinking about it for
yeah.
a starter?
Yeah, my Irish Times menu this year, prawn cocktail was the classic. Starter. It's in my first book, Flavor, the only recipe you need, and actually it's also on the Irish Times website now as well. I love it, and again, it's I love recipes where you take the classic, you make sure the sauce is really seasoned, and you just find the best quality prawns you can have, and that's why it's been around since the 1970s. It's class.
This text you're asking, Sean, trifle or pudding? It'd be trifle for me.
I actually made trifle for the first time ever for today's Irish Times magazine. It's my dessert.
I don't like trifle.
No?
Yeah. Now, the recipe's great, as you'll see today, but yeah, it's just...
You're really doing a great job promoing
it. It's just jelly and unseasoned, seasonal fruit and...
And the cream on top, though, it's not. I'd be a fan of a good.
I'm doing a sticky toffee pudding, as I always do every Christmas.
Trifle after lunch, and then pudding for tea is one. That sounds like a pretty good Christmas day. So your show, you're with us, Christmas with Mark Moriarty, Monday, 22nd December, 6:30, and you're going to make it nice and simple for all of us.
Yeah, we've got scallops and toast. We've got strip loin and beef with all the sides. We've got roast potatoes. We've got cauliflower cheese, and then we've got a lovely little steamed marmalade pudding with homemade vanilla custard for the dessert on Monday night.
Sounds good. Cauliflower cheese, criminally underrated, I think, at this time of year.
Yeah, unbelievable.
One final text for you, you bounty lover. Bounty sweets, put them in the freezer. Yum and yum.
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
They used to do a bounty freezer version, like an ice cream, which was sensational.
Ooh, delicious.
Whoever makes bounty needs to bring it back.
Thankfully discontinued. Mark Moriarty, thanks so much. Have a great Christmas.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Savor the season knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code NEWS for 15% off.